This podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek, the smartest way to buy and sell tickets. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Vertical Podcast with Chris Mannix, and we have a terrific podcast for you today. Karl-Anthony Towns, the Minnesota Timberwolves' dynamic rookie, he'll join us live from Minnesota. That's next on the Vertical Podcast with Chris Mannix.
Yahoo Sports presents the Vertical Podcast with Chris Mannix, powered by digital media. Find your voice. And now, your host, Chris Mannix.
Welcome, everybody. It's the Vertical Podcast with Chris Mannix. We're coming to you live from Minnesota at the practice facility for the Minnesota Timberwolves, where we're joined by a guy who was the number one overall pick in the draft and is now the presumptive frontrunner to be the NBA Rookie of the Year. That's Timberwolves power forward slash center, Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl, first, thanks for joining me. I want to clear something up right off the bat. There was a lot of talk going into the draft that you preferred to be drafted number two by the Lakers instead of number one by the Timberwolves. Clarify this for me. Did you want to come to Minnesota?
Absolutely. You know, God bless his soul, the late Flip Saunders. I remember calling him and just telling him how much I wanted to be here, how much I wanted to be a Wolf, how much I wanted to be in this franchise. You know, I love this game of basketball, and it never mattered where I played. I was going to try my best to win as many games as possible for whatever organization I played, but I remember vividly telling the late Flip Saunders how much I wanted to be here and, you know, how thankful I would be if they would take me.
Where do you think some of that stuff came from, where it was, you know, guys like Karl and Jaleel, that was what the topic was, want to go to L.A.?
I mean, I think for me, I go and speak home for myself. I think maybe that started with me because I was training in L.A. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a hotbed for, especially for pre-draft workouts. So I was there. I was working out. I think, you know, people just thought they were putting 2 + 2 together and saying just because I was working out in L.A., that was the case. You know, I was just working out there because it's a great spot to work out. It's a great spot to get in the best shape of your life in. You know, so I was just there for that. I never had told anyone or anything that I wanted to do that or do that. I just wanted to play the game of basketball at the highest level for whatever organization and team that would pick me.
How competitive are you with, you know, being number one? Because you heard your name, Jaleel's, D'Angelo, you know, everyone wants to go number one. How competitive are you to get that spot?
I'm very competitive in everything I do. So for me, you know, it wasn't about being number one. It was just about playing the game at the highest level. What I was being more competitive about was more of how I treated my body, how I improved my game during that summer. Because, you know, I just wanted to step into a team and try to contribute as much as possible to the team's success. So I just worked on my body, worked on my game. I never worried about anything else.
So you get to Minnesota, kid from New Jersey, played ball at Kentucky.
Yeah.
What was the transition like?
I mean, it was easy for me. It was actually very much easier for me because I just love the atmosphere here. You know, it's a very calm city. You know, it's cold, but I'd like to be inside. So, you know, just the feel around here is about love, you know, community, but also very calm. You know, it's not too much happening, which is lovely with me because that just fits my personality very well.
When you lost the title game with Kentucky, was there any part of you that said, you know, I can't go out like this. I got to
find a way? Absolutely. I had many conversations with Coach Cal about that. You know, that's why I think it was so hard for me to make that decision. We had a numerous amount of talks. You know, people think it was just something I knew the game was over. I was going to the NBA. That was not the case at all. There's a lot of conversation with me and him saying about how I was going to stay. And, you know, because I had never left the program or team with a loss. You know, AAU, I left on a win when I played my last game. High school, I left with a win. The Dominican team, the last time I played, we qualified for the World Cup. So, you know, I was very upset that was the first time in my career I could possibly not be leaving with any success. So, you know, we had a lot of conversations about that.
Did he want you to stay? I mean, what was his perspective?
He was very supportive of me. He was very supportive of me in the process. You know, for me, he kept just telling me whatever I do, he'll be very supportive if I would pick to stay, if I pick to leave. You know, very supportive. But, you know, as we all know Coach Cal, you know, he would love for us to do what's best for us. Mm-hmm. You know, like his sons, you know, so he wants the best for his sons. So, you know, I think at that moment, you know, it took some days. I still feel the same way today, but, you know, it just, for me and my family, I think it was the best decision to make at that time.
Have you watched the last game?
No, I have not watched the last game. I have not watched the national championship game. I haven't watched one of our games since we played in the tournament. I haven't watched one of our games in a season. So I'm very big on not watching highlights and stuff of that of myself or the team. So maybe when I get older and, you know, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm bored.
Get yourself a film room or something.
Yeah, I'll start watching myself when I was younger and say, you know, man, I was pretty tall. And but, you know, I'll enjoy the success. You know, I think that's the time you realize how appreciative you are of stuff is when you take the time to sit back and realize all you've done, you know. So I'm talking like an old man already, but, I mean, you know, yeah, it's things, you know, I know I'm going to realize it a lot more, appreciate it more when my career's over.
So you mentioned Flip Saunders, the guy that drafted you, high on you, obviously, passed away before ever getting to see you play in a regular season game. What was your last conversation with Flip like?
I think our last conversation on the phone was about me improving my game, you know, things he wanted me to do for the season. I mean, he gave me a large blueprint and about what he wanted me to do, what he wanted me to improve on, what he wanted me to continue to work on, and what he wanted me to continue to utilize in my game. And I have the message still on my phone, so I always look at that sometimes, you know, see if I'm keeping up to the blueprint he gave me. And, you know, his blueprint has been working to a T this year.
Was it a voice message or a text message?
Text. Long text.
Long text. How often do you look at it?
I look at it. I don't like to look at it too much. I get a little emotional, but I think once every while, maybe. You know, once every time, you know, maybe I have a bad game or I feel like I have a bad game, which is every game. But, you know, something times, you know, I look at it sometimes when I just want to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and, you know, keeping his vision alive.
The most important thing, I think, for any organization is stability, whether it's, you know, the front office to the head coach. Absolutely. The great organizations all have it. We saw Saturday night with the Spurs and Warriors, two teams with a lot of stability in there. When Flip passes, does any part of you wonder, okay, what's the direction of this organization now? What's it going to look like over the next couple of years?
You know what? I can't even look like that. You know, I'm so focused on making sure that we take care of what we got to take care of on the court. It's, you know, obviously the coaches are great and everything, but, you know, at the end of the day, the players are the ones who are out there, you know, playing the game. So I go out there every night, just try to play the best I can, and I worry about what I can worry about, which is our team's success and us playing on the court. I let everything else take care of itself, you know. And that's not my deposition, nor is it my job. So I just do what I can do on my stance.
When you come to Minnesota, you're 20 years old, coming to a new city, do you bring people with you? Do you bring family members with you? I mean, what's the Carl Towns adjustment like?
Actually, I moved here by myself and live here by myself. I've always been very independent. I like being by myself. I like being able to, you know, just sit in the room, you know, have calm, you know, peace. And so I moved here by myself. Parents come around a lot. So, you know, I have a great support system and they support me no matter how far or wide I am.
So if you don't like watching highlights, what do you do in the middle of winter when you have an off day in Minnesota?
You'll be surprised. I sit down. I very, very rarely play video games, but most of the time maybe just eat, relax, enjoy the peace, maybe read a book, you know, watch a lot of YouTube. That's really it for me. Or Netflix. I don't really do too much. I could probably count the number of times that I turned the TV on in a hotel or in my house on two hands. So, you know, I just like the calm. I like thinking about stuff. I like, you know, sleeping, obviously. You know, got to get a lot of rest. You want to be the best, you got to get to sleep.
What's your Netflix show of choice?
I was very huge. I watched all of it. I think my favorite Netflix show, I got two probably. I watch a lot of House, and I love Narcos, but you know, it's over. I'm waiting for season two now.
This is a really a fascinating locker room because you've got so many young guys and another crop of older guys, even older before Andre and Kevin left the team a few weeks back. What's the locker room like? I mean, how much interacting do you young guys do with the older guys in the locker room?
I mean, they do a great job. I mean, the older guys always talking to us. They're always advising us, always giving us a, you know, experience. So, you know, it's just the locker room's awesome. I mean, we spend about another hour and a half after every practice just talking to KG, Tayshaun, you know, everybody about their experiences. And we just laugh and we learn. And those things are making us better.
What's been your experience like in year one with KG? I mean, everyone kind of thought Carl Towns is going. I think I even used and wrote this line, going to Kevin Garnett College for the first year.
I mean, it's been awesome. I've learned so much. You know, he's given me everything from defensive prowess to offensive game. So the experience he gives me just psychologically, physically, it's just been, you know, insurmountable. You know, those are things that only first ballot Hall of Famer to give you, and I'm just blessed that I have that on my team.
Many people have said that he's the greatest practice player they've ever seen. What have you seen in practice, and how would you define that?
I mean, they ain't wrong. He's the greatest practice player I've ever seen. I mean, just his attention to detail, his ability to be like Bill Russell and coach and play at the same time is, I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's a testament, I think, more to his work ethic and his ability, even as at the age he is now, to be in the best shape to talk and coach and play and practice at the same time. You know, that's very hard. And it's a testament to his work ethic.
Carl, hang on for just a second, because I do want to talk about something that you've never had a problem with. That's getting tickets to a big event. At least you don't have problems with it that much anymore. Have you ever been frustrated trying to get tickets online? Most sites make it complicated, and they all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. SeatGeek has taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. They pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. You could even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get that $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code Mannix. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app, enter promo code Mannix today.
It's the Vertical Podcast with Chris Mannix.
How aware are you guys about, you know, just how much different things could look with him in the coming years? I mean, the guy you're playing with could conceivably be your boss next year as a minority owner. He could be an executive. I mean, is that something you're aware of at all over the course of a season?
You know what? You know, like I said, I don't even think about that. You know, I just think about what I can control. And for me, what I can control and think about is us going out every night and competing as the best team we could possibly be. You know, Monday we got the Warriors coming in town, so a lot of focus has been playing into that.
What's something that he's shown you that maybe you didn't know before, something specific that he's taught you?
I think it's just tips and tricks, you know, like the little things that he does that makes him such a great defensive player. And those things, you know, him teaching me that has allowed me to be a step ahead of the curve, the learning curve. So those little things. And, you know, I think the simplest things he'll teach me on offense will, you know, all have, you know, been working tremendously for me this year.
He's a former defensive player of the year. So
absolutely. So you can see it.
He's got the skill set, no question. But is there something that, you know, whether it's a little thing that he's able to get by the referees or it's some little trick that you picked up on that end from him?
I think it's everything. I mean, he has so many ways of doing so many things on the court. So, you know, I'm blessed and honored, you know, that he teaches me every little thing. You know, he doesn't leave anything off the table that I can't learn from him. You know, he teaches me every tip and trick and secret he has. And, you know, I just try to utilize it in my game.
You mentioned that you go out a winner at virtually every other level that you played on. So you're used to winning at the highest of levels everywhere. How do you adjust to the inevitable losing of this year? How hard has it been to kind of adapt?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard for me, especially. You know, I love to win. I'm a competitor. I like to win every single thing. I mean, you walked in, you see me and Zach talking, and all of a sudden we're playing one-on-one, and I'm screaming like we won the championship every time I got to stop. So I'm just competitive, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, we're fighting for something much bigger, you know. So we're fighting for championships, you know. So we have a winning attitude. Never, not one time thought we're playing to lose or anything like that. We have an absolute winning attitude. We're getting better every single day. We're working tremendously hard. Our work ethic is amazing. And we're getting so much more experience, I think. You know, for years to come, we could definitely be the force that we imagine ourselves being and visualize ourselves being in the West.
Did it take time for you, though, to not take every loss so personally and not to let each one fester? Because it is on to the next here in the NBA.
You know, I still take every loss very personal. I mean, absolutely. I'm almost devastated every time we lose. I'm in the locker room, you know. You know, it's very hard to talk to me and everything. And I'm hard-headed. I think I get that from my mother. So I'm very, you know, stuck to one way. I like winning, and that's the only way I see ourselves doing it.
Is there something, though, you've learned to do to put it behind you? I mean, just to...
I mean, you got
to
be mentally strong, very mentally strong. You know, obviously, the last game, you know, you'll lose. You know, you lost. You got to move on. You know, NBA, you could be playing the next day. So, you know, I still think about the game. You know, I still think about the game tremendously. But, you know, you take those things you learn from the game, things that worked that game, and you take it to the next game. And the things that didn't work last game when you lost, you try to throw that out and make sure you fix those mistakes.
Is there a piece of advice that someone has given you about dealing with that, about understanding just how long the season is?
Can't get advice, man. It's experience. You got to go through it. You know, this season's long. You know, it's very long. And, you know, I think the biggest thing, the best thing I did was I had some great trainers in LA. You know, Don McLean and Ryan Capretta were Proactive Sports in California, where we got my body in the greatest shape possible to not only withstand the minutes, withstand 82 games, but to, more importantly, stay healthy. You know, the biggest thing that can stop any athlete is an injury. So I got to give all, you know, great things to them for having them help me stay healthy during this pre-draft process coming into the league. And then during in the league, you know, David Crew and the training staff here, Arnie and everybody, just done a great job of, I mean, keeping me healthy, keeping me fresh every game, allowing me to do such a better job.
Hang on for just a second, Carl. I know you and other NBA players have got to be huge fans of steak, of red meat. And there is no better steak out there than Omaha Steaks. Exceptional meats, great prices, and excellent customer service. Omaha Steaks delivers it all. Why Omaha Steaks? High quality, one-of-a-kind flavor, beef and bison from the Golden Plains, seafood, poultry, pork via lamb, veggies, desserts, appetizers, pasta, soups, seasoning, sauces, and so much more. Everything backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% unconditional guarantee. Great package now being offered to my listeners. Huge savings, and the box comes with a great variety. Right now, when you use my code MANIX, you will get 76% off this exclusive package. The package includes 2 tender filet mignons, 2 bold beefy top sirloins, 2 moist savory boneless pork chops, 4 home-style chicken fried steaks, 15 giant Italian spice all beef meatballs, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 4 crispy creamy potatoes au gratin, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus 4 juicy, made-from-premium ground beef Omaha Steak burgers absolutely free. Just for my listeners, this exclusive package is only $49.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Mannix in the search bar to get this great deal. That's omahasteaks.com. Enter Mannix in the search bar to get this great package for $49.99.
The Vertical Podcast with Chris Mannix, powered by Digital Media.
How much more of a pounding is it physically at this level? The guys are bigger, stronger, faster, no question. But, I mean, can you put into words just how physical it is out there playing your position every night in the NBA?
I mean, it's very physically laboring. I mean, you know, you're talking about, we're in the West also. You know, you got the Marcus Halls, the Dwight Howards, Andrew Bogut's, and everybody from the West. So you're talking about a lot of physically imposing big men, especially DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis. So
you got to mention the Kentucky guy. You got to
obviously.
You got to keep those two guys.
But you got to keep them, you know, last. You want to be the last words you hear. You have so many well-respected bigs in the West. So, I mean, every game is a challenge. I mean, no matter what, we're in the NBA. There's a reason everyone's wearing their jerseys. Everyone's very talented, the best players in the world. So, you know, you got to go out there. You got to compete every single night. I think, you know, center position is very hard. But, I mean, every position's hard when you're in the West, especially point guards and guards. But like I said, even the East. I mean, you're talking about, this is, again, the best players in the whole entire world are playing in this league. So every team is a challenge. Every team is an obstacle that you have to overcome.
Who's the guy this year that you played against that you finished that game like, that was exhausting? That was a rough and tumble type of game.
I mean, everyone's different. You could be playing one night, you know, very talented, you know, big man where you have to run around all the game, trying to keep them from getting a good look in the Marcus Halls, for me, at least. And then, you know, you'll be playing games where you're playing against very physically demanding opponents, bigs, who are running around, setting screens, rebounding, doing everything on the court, like, you know, Steven Adams and the Bogut's and stuff. So, you know, everyone's different. I think every game I take very serious. I can't really say, you know, because, you know, every game I give everything I have to the team. You know, I could be one guard starting the game on a 5 and ending the game on a 4. So You know, I'm running around a lot, switching on ones, switching on threes, twos, you know, whatever the team demands me to do, I'm willing.
Is it harder to chase around the active 4-5 man or bang bodies with the Gasol, Randolph types?
I mean, both are difficult, you know. But I work tremendously hard to make that not as difficult as it is, you know. So, you know, for me, I go out there and I just, you know, I stay in shape, stay in great shape, stay in the weight room, and make sure that whatever that night demands me to do, whether it be a physical big, whether it means being more of a mobile four, or maybe some games, for Memphis recently, being a three. You know, I keep myself in shape so I could do whatever the team needs me to do.
You've got the polish of a guy that, you know, you won the skills competition. that speaks, I think, to the level of skill and polish that you already have. Has it been what you expected in terms of being able to score, you know, adjusting to that type of NBA play?
You know what? Again, I've been blessed to have great trainers this summer and great coaching staff for my team. You know, Don McLean did a great job of telling me how to score in the NBA level, and every day we worked on scoring at the NBA level, not just working on my craft, but working
on. What was the difference there, then, scoring at the NBA level?
Just slowing down, you know, taking your time on moves, you know, not going too fast, you know, you'll have time to do this, you'll have time to do that, you know. And the greatest thing is having a person who was such a great scorer in college and great scorer in NBA, it allowed me to learn how to score at a higher rate and more efficiently. And then coming here, you know, Vince Lagarza, Gary Trent, the two people I work out with the most here on the coaching staff, really just, you know, getting me ready every game. What kind of shots will work better this game? What kind of shots you may need to stay away from this game? Or, and just constantly keeping me efficient and keeping me playing at a high level. So thanks to them, you know, Coach Sam Mitchell doing a great job. Obviously, we all know he was a great scorer. So him just keeping me on track of knowing shots to take that are pretty good shots and shots to maybe avoid and pass up.
Does Sam tell you he's a great scorer? Does he remind you that he was a heck of a scorer in his day?
He'll tell us he was a great shooter. He'll tell us he was a great shooter, great scorer. So I believe me, I know now.
Your father, I read the son of your father was coaching high school in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
And you played, did I read that you played as a fifth grader on the JV team? Is that right?
I played mostly what happened was for fifth grade, I was playing with my dad. High school team, but I was practicing with them. I wasn't playing with them. I was attending every single practice. I was mostly on the scrimmage team. I was on the scout team. That's what they call it. So we were on the scout team. So I knew all their plays. I knew how to run them. I knew everything. And, you know, him having me do that, you know, obviously built my toughness, built me mentally to help me learn plays, different ways, different terminologies, cuts, how to learn plays, how to implement plays, find open spots in certain plays. And three, I mean, it just made me a better player, a skill set, seeing so many great players come through his high school in New Jersey and just taking little things here and there from the players that he had.
Let's take a break for 1 second because I want to talk about Casper Mattress. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for only a fraction of the price. The mattress industry has inherently forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly onto the consumer. A Casper mattress provides resilience and long-lasting supportive comfort. Casper's mattress is one of a kind, a new hybrid mattress that combines premium latex foam with memory foam. Mattresses can often cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattresses cost between $500 for a twin-size mattress, $750 for a full-size, $850 for a queen-size, and $950 for a king-size mattress. That's an outstanding price point. Casper understands that buying a mattress online can have consumers wondering how this is possible. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free, though. Casper offers free delivery and returns within a 100-day waiting period. It's that simple. Statistically, lying on a bed for 4 minutes in a showroom has no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you. That's why Casper has turned the buying process into a risk-free experience. Casper understands the importance of truly trying out a mattress that in all reality, you spend a third of your life on. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Mannix and using the promo code Mannix. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Vertical Podcast with Chris Mannix.
It's interesting you say that, you know, taking something from the players there. At the NBA level, do you see a guy doing a move and then try to steal it? I mean,
Oh yeah.
What's an example of a guy that you've...
You know, I don't want to get my secrets out, but, you know, there's many great bigs where, you know, they do a little thing here and there on the post, or they do something off the post, and it automatically is like it gives them an automatic step on the competition or a half a step of space, where that's all you need as a shooter. And I see that one game, and I'll finish the game right away, and I'll look at the coaches and say, hey, I want that on tape, I want that on my laptop, or I want that sent to me on CD so I could see it. And the next day, literally almost the next day on the flight, off the flight, if we have a back-to-back, literally in the hotel, we'll go to an open room and just work on footwork on it or try to implement it.
So you just walk into a hotel room and without a rim, without a net, without a ball, just practicing?
Don't need no rim, no net, no nothing. We just need an imaginary defender, and we just need to have a conversation and talk and maybe do it once, just to work on the footwork and implement in the game.
I would think Zach Randolph has to be a guy you might have plucked something from.
There's a lot of guys.
A lot of good footwork there with Zach. You can't jump out of the gym.
You know what? He does everything great. You know what? He does a great job of his rebounding. He's in the right spot at the right time, and he always puts himself in that spot. And that's not something that's instincts one, but it's a skill. It's a skill that he knows that he's worked on tremendously in his career, because, like you said, he may not have the greatest athletic ability, but you don't need athletic ability when you're in the right spot.
There's no more fascinating young duo in the league than you and Andrew together. The sky's really the limit for you two as your careers kind of move forward. The one thing that's probably the unknown is chemistry. I mean, what's great players play together all the time, doesn't always work out every time. What's the chemistry like between you two, both on the floor and off it?
It's great. I mean, he's like my brother, especially us two and Zach. We spend a lot of time together, so it's something. I mean, he was just talking right now that right after practice, we'll all call each other to be ready to play a video game together. So, something like that, that just shows the chemistry where we come up to each other. We always messing around with each other and pulling pranks on each other. So, I mean, the chemistry is, I've never worried about that. That's one thing I've been so happy is to have such great teammates and individuals on this team, where we all get along so well with each other, and we all like to do a lot of things together, So it's never about Carl wants to do this, and two people want to do that, and three people want to do this, and four people want to do that. It's, we all usually do something together, whether it be the whole team goes to a movie or anything, and it's something that that's the unity we built.
And on the floor, do you sense it too?
Yes.
I mean, do you sense
it? I do. I sense it big time, because we don't ever get mad at each other or anything for taking shots, like that. And that's big, especially in the NBA. We want Zach to take his shots. We want him to take certain shots. And, we'll scream at him because he didn't shoot, and we want him to shoot. And, it's the same thing back and forth. We all are looking for each other, and we all know where everyone's comfortable at. So we all just try to feed off of each other. And that's a great sign of unity and chemistry, where we're cheering you on the court, And the best thing about it is, we all want the best for each other. No one has ill will towards anybody. Everyone wants everyone to be great and to be the best way they can be.
Do you talk about, just wishing you could speed up this process and become a veteran overnight almost, so you can get to the level that most people think you guys can get to?
I mean, No. Because that doesn't add any value to the journey. That's the biggest thing. This is a journey. This is step by step, stone by stone, brick by brick process. You can't rush it. If you rush it, it's not organic, it's artificial. And we're doing a great job, we're doing a great job every single day, every single practice, every single minute, every single meal, every single step we take as a unit of being the team that we want to be.
Are you eligible to play for USA Basketball?
No.
You're not. That's what I thought, because you played.
I played for the DR, so I don't believe so.
How do you feel about that? Because you would.
I'm fine.
I'm
fine with it. I love DR. I love the country. My mother's from there, born there. It's something close to me, And they gave me such a chance at a young age to do something special.
Yeah, how old were you when you first started?
15. So, I was very young, and just all the experience they gave me, being able to learn from Al Horford, being able to talk to some of the greatest players overseas, and it taught me how to be the player I am today.
Al Horford would seem to be someone you could learn something from in those days.
Absolutely. I mean, Al Horford, still amazing player, all-star player, obviously. One of the best players in the world. And, Jack Michael Martinez, the leader, taught me little things where you don't have to jump high to score efficiently and score a lot. So those things, and it's just the experience. I can't explain enough how that team helped me. So, I just want to continue to give back and take the team to the new level and to new heights.
You plan to play in 2016?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's been a long season, my first season. I'm about to be done.
You know, I don't know. I'm probably going to just sit down and think about it.
Well, Carl, I know you've had a long practice and you've got a game. I appreciate you taking this time to talk to me. Thank you. Good luck, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. You can download this and all archived episodes anywhere you can download podcasts. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Also, don't forget to check out the Great Vertical Podcast with Woj and the Vertical Podcast with JJ Redick.
This has been a digital media production. Find your voice.